What is going on, LA? Laker fans tuned in. Whether you're listening on 710 ESPN or on the ESPN app, greatly appreciate you guys tuning in. We got a stacked show tonight. We'll talk about how the Lakers should approach this this short offseason. We'll spend some time talking about it looks like there's a little bit more information coming out about this upcoming season. The schedule should be coming out, I think, in the next couple of days, sometime this week. Jared Dudley is back with the Los Angeles Lakers. We got a chance, a lot of the media got a chance to listen to Dennis Schroeder today, and then he was on with Ramona and Mason on the Mason and Ireland show. So we got a lot of things to get into. I appreciate everybody being a part of the show. I want to start off the show with this. And if you want to be a part of the show, 877-710-ESPN. How should the Lakers approach this short offseason? What should the game plan be from a team perspective? What should the game plan be for LeBron James? We know LeBron walking into his 18th season in the NBA. Count all the playoffs that he's played. By the way, LeBron's played the equivalent of three additional NBA seasons if you count the amount of playoff games that he's been in. That's an unbelievable stat, but that's just how successful LeBron James has been in. So I do want to start off the show with that, because as the dust starts to settle, and we know now what this Lakers roster looks like, and you know, obviously the Lakers won a championship on October 11th, how should they approach this short offseason? So a couple different ways to look at it. By the way, training camp starts this week. Preseason starts December 11th. So it's going to be in total about 2 months that the Lakers, less than 2 months that they had actually off, but from game six of the NBA Finals against Miami to the start of preseason, it will be 2 months on the dot that the Lakers will have had. It's interesting. It's interesting to see how they'll approach it. I remember last year, I can't tell you guys how much I spent time talking about how I didn't think the regular season was going to be that important. I just kind of looked at the regular season and said, it's not that big of a deal. All the Lakers got to do is just be prepared and kind of pace themselves for the postseason, and they'll be fine. They got a talented enough lineup where, you know, obviously that's going to give them the opportunity to win an NBA championship, which nothing's really changed. I think Lakers are going to approach this this season with, in my opinion, a more talented roster, more depth than they had a year ago, and a younger crew. The Lakers got younger in the offseason, so they got guys that can, you know, pick up for some of the slack here, at least in the beginning of the year before you get to the postseason. But I was off last season when I tried making my prediction, because the Lakers did play for home court advantage. They did have the best record in the Western Conference. They had the number one seed in the West. And guys like LeBron James, who you thought, okay, maybe we're going to load manage LeBron a little bit. Maybe it's going to be similar to how other players around the NBA were controlling their minutes and controlling the amount of games that they played. I was way off last year. So I'm not sure what the game plan is going to be from the Los Angeles Lakers, but if I base it off last season, I think that the team approached it differently than I think most people had expected. I think right now it appears that home court won't matter, and I don't think it will. We'll see if anything changes, but I did see something from Dr. Anthony Fauci, a little bit earlier today. He had something in Yahoo Sports and just basically talked about how he doesn't see arenas filled up. Talking specifically about the NBA, most likely that's not going to happen this year. So what does that mean? That means, okay, home court is not going to be as much into play. But I still think the regular season, I still think it should be valued. The Lakers lost six players from their championship roster, and they added five new guys. There's no guarantees that all these players are going to gel. Don't get me wrong. I don't want anybody to think out there that the Lakers are in a fantastic spot. The pickups that they made this offseason, Dennis Schroeder being one of those guys, and we're going to hear from Dennis Schroeder as we kind of go throughout the show. The Lakers with Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder, and the fact that Marc Gasol is on this team, Wesley Matthews a part of this team. Yeah, the Lakers lost some. I mentioned this. I spent a lot of time on this last week on Wednesday, day before Thanksgiving, talking about how the Lakers lost some champs. They lost veterans. They lost guys that definitely were a big part of helping them win an NBA championship. But they also got a lot of talent back. They also got a lot of players that I think will be able to, you know, come off the bench and be more impactful to go along with some of the other players that the Lakers already have coming off the bench, and guys like Kuzma and Alex Caruso and Markieff Morris. So the talent is there for the Lakers. But I think if the question is how much should the Lakers value the regular season, I think it's valuable. I really do. I don't think that you could just kind of turn the page and say, ah, well, the regular season doesn't matter. Lakers are, they got LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Who cares? Just get us to the postseason, and those two will carry us along. If the entire team was coming back, if it was the same roster and it was the same team, if it was KCP has obviously come back, but if Rondo was still a part of the team and Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee and Danny Green, I go down the list and it was pretty much the same exact roster, I would say that, okay, they could play it any way they want. But I feel like there is this perception that the regular season should not matter that much for the Los Angeles Lakers. Yeah, I kind of disagree with that. I really do. I think that this upcoming year, these 72 games that the Lakers are going to play, these four preseason games that the Lakers have on their schedule, I think there's some value to it. I think that in order for Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder to start fitting in and finding ways to gel, Marc Gasol, a veteran's been in the league for a long time. I'm not too worried about him finding a way to gel. But just to get all these players on the same page and getting them pulling the rope in the same direction, I'm looking forward to the preseason. I'm looking forward to the regular season because I do think there's a lot of value to this upcoming season and kind of playing these games out to get ready for the postseason. Now, if the question is how should the Lakers approach how to use LeBron James, that's a completely different story. I mean, you know, I mentioned this. LeBron's coming into his 18th season. And if last season was any indication of LeBron slowing down, I didn't see it. And he still looks like he's the best player in the world. I remember, and I'll never forget this, when they were passing out, when the MVP award came out and it was announced that it was to Giannis. And I remember telling Michael Thompson in the pregame show, him and I were both complaining that, what do you mean 16 votes? How is LeBron going to get 16 votes out of a possible, I think, 101 votes? And then you heard LeBron James talking about it and saying that, you know, obviously that's what he was disappointed about. It's not that he didn't win MVP, but he felt like he was disrespected. But this, you know, this is going to be a different year for the NBA in general, but for LeBron James, I get the pacing LeBron James part, definitely. I thought they were going to do it last year with him, and LeBron didn't do it. But I think if there's ever a time that the Lakers got to be, and LeBron himself has to approach this season and just be smart about it, it's because the Lakers came off this grind of the Orlando bubble where, you know, they obviously played up until October 11th. Here we are, December right around the corner. Obviously, today's November 30th, and training camp's going to start, and then the preseason's going to start, and December 22nd, regular season's going to start. The LeBron James kind of strategy here with the Lakers is going to be key. It's going to be important of how they use him. And I think that's part of the reason why Rob Pelinka made some of the moves that he made in this offseason. I think there's certainly a reason why he went out and grabbed the 27-year-old Dennis Schroeder, a 26-year-old Montrezl Harrell. I talked about it last week how I thought these players, there's players that are a certain age on this Lakers team, guys like KCP, of course, Anthony Davis, Alex Caruso, Kyle Kuzma. There's now an abundance of players that are under 27, where that wasn't really the case last year for the Lakers. And that's going to have to be a big part of this upcoming season for the Lakers. That's going to have to be a big part of what the strategy is, because if you think big picture this year, and you know you got 72 games, and you know you got LeBron James coming into his 18th season, Wesley Matthews, I think, is at 34. Marc Gasol is around 35 years old. So you got some players that are obviously been in the league for a long time. But I think the hope is this season is that the regular season, as much as I've heard some fans say, well, the regular season isn't important, I completely disagree. I think the regular season is going to be key for the Lakers, not to see what LeBron James and Anthony Davis can do, but it's how this team, with five new players on the roster, six vets, six guys that were really, really good, not just on the court, but in the locker room as role players, they're no longer on this team. I think it's going to be very, very important for this Lakers team to obviously use these 72 games to find that gel, to find ways to see, okay, what are the strengths of what Dennis Schroeder does with AD and LeBron? What's the strengths when Montrezl Harrell is in a game with Kyle Kuzma and Dennis Schroeder and Alex Caruso? So I don't undermine the regular season. I really don't. Yes, home court is not going to mean anything. Most likely it's not going to mean anything because we're not going to expect fans in arenas. But I think for the Lakers, this regular season, it should be valued. I certainly think that. One of the new additions to the Lakers, Dennis Schroeder, joined Mason and Ramona today. Ramona was filling in for John Ireland, obviously. And earlier today, just before that call, got a chance to connect with Dennis Schroeder as well on these Zoom calls. So I want to play a few things from Dennis Schroeder, the expectations for Dennis Schroeder this upcoming season. And then also, I thought Schroeder had something very, very interesting to say that contradicts what I've been saying. Talking about the starting lineup for the Lakers. So we're going to get into all that coming up next. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All right, Santa Key is coming to town and stuffing your stocking with Laker goodies and collectibles. Keep listening for the sounder of Santa Key coming down your chimney. Once you hear it, be caller number 7 to 877-710-ESPN. You have a chance to pick a stocking above the 710 fireplace. Keyshawn, Greeny, Max, Mason, Ireland, Sedano, LZ Kaplan, and of course, playoff Sliwa. And win Laker goodies and collectibles. So keep listening this hour, and we'll make sure to make that happen. So I start off the show, and it's funny because a lot of these videos and a lot of these opportunities I get here on, you know, obviously on 710 to just, here we are talking Lakers. I got a lot of, I feel like there's this vibe like the regular season doesn't count. It counts. Or not that it doesn't count, but it just doesn't matter for the Lakers, as in, well, they're stacked enough. It doesn't really matter, you know, what happens in the regular season. I disagree. I really do. You know, on paper, the Lakers look fantastic. And by the way, once they get on the court, I think they're going to look fantastic. I will continue to say this. It's the best roster in the NBA. You know, I think it's the best bench in the NBA as well. So we all know that the Lakers are going to have a ton of success, but one of the things that, you know, you have to just keep in mind, a lot of these guys haven't played together yet. And yes, LeBron James and Anthony Davis are so freaking good. They're so incredible that a lot of the time it's really, really easy to just say, okay, well, it's just that talent and that's all you need. But I would actually go a step further. I think it's the role players that are going to be so key, just like they were in the playoffs. The role players can very much, very well determine another NBA championship, championship number 18, or they can determine not winning a chip. And we know that we got the star power. Now it's just how all these other pieces fit together. So one of the pieces that I'm sure every Laker fan is really excited to have on this roster and have on this team, Dennis Schroeder. So yesterday, we get our... Got to check the Lakers PR page that's up there and make sure, okay, is there an interview coming up? Last week it was Montrezl Harrell, Wesley Matthews, Marc Gasol. So we get a chance to hear from all these players. It's fantastic. We get all these Zoom calls. And then this morning, or actually this afternoon, it was Dennis Schroeder. So Dennis Schroeder was actually working out at the Lakers training facility. It's actually pretty cool. So he's on his phone. He's joins into the Zoom call, and there he is at the Lakers facility wearing his Lakers gear, got a big smile on his face. You could hear basketballs in the background. The man was at the facility just working out and getting ready for obviously this upcoming season. But he talked about how excited he is. He's excited to be a Laker. He said that, you know, he's from Germany, and he said that once it was announced that he was going to the Lakers, he's like, the country went crazy. They're big NBA fans there. And then here he is, a chance to win an NBA championship. So it's cool to hear the story of somebody that maybe a lot of Laker fans don't know that much about. They know that he was six-man runner-up. They know that he's a good player. He's been in the league now. He's 27 years old. But it's nice to get a little bit more of a background from Dennis Schroeder. So I would say this. You know, for me, I look at what the expectation is for Dennis Schroeder. So the Lakers had a really good offseason. So they bring in Montrezl Harrell, Marc Gasol, Wesley Matthews. But to me, Dennis Schroeder, that's the most important player that the Lakers brought over in the offseason. That is, in my opinion, the position that was most needed and I think could be most effective for the Lakers. So I'm not undermining Montrezl Harrell and what he could bring to the table, not undermining Marc Gasol, not undermining Wesley Matthews, not undermining the re-signing of KCP and Markieff Morris. We go down the list. Obviously, a lot of different Lakers. By the way, quick shout-out, Jared Dudley re-signed with the Lakers as well, so he's back. Dudley signed a $2.6 million contract, a one-year contract, and I point that out now is because it happened in the last couple of hours or so. But when I look at Dennis Schroeder and, you know, and I say, okay, well, what is the expectation for Schroeder? He's going to be a big-time player for the Lakers. I mean, Lakers need him to be a big-time player. It's very, very important that Dennis Schroeder is the third, let's say third, fourth best player on the team, but a true scoring punch, a player that whether he's coming off the bench or he's starting, I'll get to that in just a second because I think Dennis Schroeder threw a little bit of a curveball out there for most of the Lakers media today. So whether he's coming off the bench or he's starting, he's an important piece. We haven't had a player like that. Rondo was incredibly effective in the postseason for the Lakers, but that wasn't on a consistent basis from the point guard position, or that wasn't on a consistent basis of a player coming off the bench and you're like, okay, I know that guy's going to get us 15 to 18 a game a night. I know that when LeBron James goes to the bench, the offense doesn't just completely stall. And by the way, the stalling of the offense would happen sometimes when even AD was still in the game. So I've got very, very high expectations for Dennis Schroeder, and I think Laker fans should as well, and I think he's going to deliver on those expectations. I think he'll be a player that, again, whether he comes off the bench or not, will be playing 30-plus minutes a game. End of the game, he's going to be in there. He'll be effective on the defensive end, just kind of a gnat all over the place. Very shifty on offense, have the ability to get to the basket and put some pressure on some of on the defense on the other side. I think as the season progresses, he'll get more comfortable with where to feed Anthony Davis, where to get LeBron James the ball, how to get those guys going as well. So I got high expectations for Dennis Schroeder. Now, as far as what position Dennis Schroeder will be playing as far as coming off the bench or starting, let me play this because this to me was by far the most interesting thing that came out of the conversation with Dennis Schroeder. So here's Schroeder talking specifically about playing off the bench or starting.
Yeah, I did this off the bench stuff already, you know, 2 years with OKC. I think I try to move forward, you know, and I think with AD and LeBron, you know, I can be helpful, I think, as a starter in the PG position that LeBron, you know, don't have so much stuff in his mind and can be, you know, just I can bring it up, you know, call a set play, whatever, and put him in a position to score. You know, I think to him to play off the court and off the ball, I mean, it's I think great, you know, and I think that's the reason why they brought me in. And I think we're going to fit perfectly with LeBron, AD, Caldwell Pope is there, you know, Wesley Matthews. Hell, I think we all fit together, and we're looking forward to it.
All right, that's Dennis Schroeder from earlier today. So, listen, I had a full game plan here. I was not expecting Dennis Schroeder to throw this little curveball at me. Yesterday or last week on Wednesday, I was talking about I already got the Lakers starting lineup. I was already walking into the show. Here we are a couple, about 3 weeks away from the regular season starting. I was already ready to throw out the starting lineup out there. I had Wesley Matthews. KCP, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and Marc Gasol. Obviously, Dennis Schroeder has probably had different conversations with the front office, but certainly in his mind thinks that he's going to be a starter for the Lakers. That's an interesting one. That's one that, you know, I think it's not always the five best players that are on the floor to start the game. That's not how it usually works. We'll use Dennis Schroeder as an example. He was six-man runner-up. Montrezl Harrell, he was the sixth man of the year. Lou Williams, we know how effective he's been for the Clippers. There have been players, Manu Ginobili, one of, you know, just a joy to watch Ginobili back in the days. He came in off the bench. There's always a lot of teams that are competing for championships. It's not necessarily the five best players that are on the floor at the same time, at least to start the game. But the five best players are usually in at the end of the game. Maybe there's some matchup issues here or there. It's going to be interesting how the Lakers kind of juggle this, because Schroeder, it sounds like, does not want the same role that he had with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Schroeder, it sounds like, thinks he could be extremely effective for the Lakers in that starting lineup with LeBron and with Anthony Davis and KCP, like he mentioned, a couple other guys. But that's going to put Coach in a position where he's got to, you know, obviously figure some things out. And I've always looked at it this way. I've always looked at it as, okay, but what's in the best interest of the team? And that's really all that you want to see. You just want to see what's in the best interest of this Lakers team to have a chance at championship number 18 now, right? 17's in the books. Here we are now looking at 18. So we'll have to see how things play out. And we could talk a little bit more about that as the show progresses. But Dennis Schroeder, obviously a Los Angeles Laker, big offseason acquisition. I think in his mind thinks he should be starting for the Los Angeles Lakers. We'll see how things play out there. All right, coming up next, Mike Bresnahan from Spectrum Sportsnet, one of my favorite guys to have on. We'll talk about this Lakers, about the upcoming season, and those comments from Dennis Schroeder. I'd like to get his thoughts on that as well. We'll do all that coming up next. I'm Alan Sliwa. Appreciate you guys tuning in. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. I want to welcome in Laker analyst for Spectrum Sportsnet. He's a good man, Mike Bresnahan. Brez, what's going on? Thank you for joining the show.
Alan, if I hear your voice, I know that Lakers season is right around the corner. I can't believe it. It feels like they won it all just like 2 days ago.
Well, what's funny is if I told you they won it all less than 2 months ago, that would still sound crazy, but they literally won it less than 2 months ago. Brez, look, I want to actually just get your thoughts here. You know, the season ended, Lakers win a championship. It was on October 11th, and we know the way things played out, and you had to do it in a bubble, and Lakers figure out a way to, you know, win in six against Miami. What are you expecting this year? And what I'm referring to there is now that there is no bubble, now that the schedule is condensed to 72 games, now that we are watching a lot of different sports, specifically football, where games are getting canceled here and there and made up and so forth, What do you expect over the next couple of months? I mean, do you have an expectation?
No expectations. I mean, you have to see what's going on with the NFL and college football and cancellations and postponements. And, you know, they're obviously not in the bubble situation that the NBA was for a few really ironclad months. And the NBA was pretty clear up front saying, you know, we're not going to have another bubble. That was a unique situation. And they're going to try to navigate around the virus. There will probably be suspension of games, I should say, and postponements and that type of thing. But I really have no idea what it's going to look like, Alan. It's going to be, as if last season wasn't long enough. This one could be could have some starts and stops too. We just don't know, do we?
You know, and it is. I guess that's part of the intrigue of this upcoming season, where I think as the dust settled, where I thought, oh my gosh, what a challenge that was to finish off last season, and how they made it happen, and the 4 months of hiatus, and then, you know, obviously all the teams, 22 teams, end up in Orlando. Nah, this season might be more of a challenge just because of the circumstances. And like you mentioned, one of the things I loved about the bubble was one of the big question marks was how, if a player tested positive and he was out for 2 weeks, and let's say it was a big-time player, was the bubble going to potentially hurt the competition? Was that going to decide who was the champion? That never happened in the bubble, and I know that we have no idea what's going to happen on this front, but a lot of eyes, obviously, on the NBA as we look to get started here. December 11th, by the way, is the first preseason game, which is crazy in itself. Brez, how should the Lakers, you think, approach the start of the season? Do you think it's going to be a lot different than maybe some of the other strategy goes from some of the other teams out there?
You know, I would not be surprised if LeBron's season kind of mirrors what Kawhi Leonard did 2 years ago with Toronto. He played only 60 games during the regular season. So about three-fourths of them, right? I think LeBron might exercise a strategy kind of close to that. I would not expect him in any preseason games. We don't know for sure. That's just me talking out loud. You have to go back to the what he put on Twitter, I believe it was, when the NBA announced that you know, it looks like a December 22nd startup. The emoji he used was the face palm, the face plant. So he's obviously a little surprised that it's a quick turnaround. What is it, 71 days between games? I think I saw someone put out there between when the Lakers finished business in Orlando and when they're going to be starting up just in a few weeks. So I think he's really going to take his time getting into this, probably Anthony Davis as well. And you know, the older players on the team, the vets, you know, I would not be surprised if they just say, you know, we'll play opening night, maybe Christmas as well, but then start lateraling, you know, a few games here and there, because it really is the long run. That's what matters. And it worked out pretty well for Kawhi individually a couple years ago in Toronto, didn't it?
And it worked out really well for the Lakers last year with LeBron and AD, but they didn't. It's kind of funny. I thought that was going to be the strategy last season, where you felt like, hey, they're going to pace themselves. They never really paced themselves. I mean, LeBron, it felt like, played virtually every game, played high amount of minutes, but I could see that strategy shifting. How big do you think, Brez, the fact that the Lakers offseason so far includes 26-year-old Montrezl Harrell, a 27-year-old Dennis Schroeder? We already know Kyle Kuzma and Alex Caruso, and there's other players on this roster that are at an age where, you know, maybe minutes don't mean as much, and they could play an entire season, no questions asked. How much do you think that offseason helps the Lakers in these predicaments of how they want to use some of the big guns?
Alan, it was huge. I mean, if you look at what the Lakers had just a few weeks ago, not a lot of trade assets, you know, no former lottery picks on their roster like they had when they got Anthony Davis with Lonzo and Brandon Ingram and on. They didn't have that this summer, or fall, I should say. You know, no first-round draft picks to speak of. They, under NBA rules, cannot, that the next first-round draft pick they trade would be 2026. So that's not real appealing to a lot of teams, right? So if you were to tell me that Rob Pelinka, with some limited resources, would be able to pull in a guy like Dennis Schroeder, runner-up, sixth man of the year. Montrezl Harrell, the sixth man of the year. I would have said you're crazy. You know, Wesley Matthews, a nice veteran pickup, with really not much to offer other teams. And you know, limited free agency money, too. So what they've been able to do over the last couple weeks has really been nothing short of stunning, in my opinion. Probably an A grade is what I would give them. I mean, it's tough to lose Danny Green, and Dwight had a nice bounce-back season. So maybe it's more of an A-minus, just replacing vets with championship experience who blended really well for one long but magical season. So maybe not quite an A, but definitely A-minus material for Rob Pelinka.
No, Brez, and that's a good point. I spent some time last week talking about this where, look, it's not like the Lakers, it's not like they are coming back with the same roster. They're not. There's six guys between Rondo and Avery Bradley, and like you mentioned, Danny Green, Dwight Howard, Quinn Cook. They're players that, JaVale McGee, that are champions, that have a ton of experience, that certainly played their role, played a part in winning that championship. But I think it's undisputed to say, where the Lakers sit right now, they're more talented, in my opinion, just the talent of the roster. And I think the youth of the roster, guys that are playing right in the, you know, the prime of their career, where I think this The vets served their purpose, and the Lakers got every ounce out of them last season, and here they are, some of them left because they got more money or predicaments might have been a little bit better for them financially. But I think what they got now also fits where the team is right now and where they're trying to go. So it has been a pretty incredible offseason.
Alan, not only did the Lakers get better on paper, but they got younger. And to me, that's the big key. You're going to have a guy like Schroeder on a night when maybe LeBron James sits out. There you go. You have a nice primary playmaker. If the team's on the road in Charlotte or wherever, and LeBron's going to take the night off, no big deal. Same for Anthony Davis. All right, you know, he's played a few weeks in a row. He's ready for a rest night. Bring on Montrezl Harrell. The guy's got an intense motor, super high energy. You know, it's funny. On our shows on Spectrum Sportsnet, we threw out a list of guys I thought the Lakers would be great to acquire via free agency. Keep in mind, they only had about $9 million to offer.
Right.
Per player next season. They could only do that once. You know, that was kind of their big free agent spending, it would be. And I'm thinking like Joe Harris from Brooklyn, nice outside shot. A couple other people that we mentioned from time to time. Never thought Montrezl Harrell would make that. I just never thought it. And the fact that he accepted about, I think it's $9.3 million next season, that to me is a huge pickup for the Lakers, and it also allowed them to say goodbye to guys like JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard because they have a guy who's several years younger who came off his best career, his best year in his NBA career. It's a huge addition to go that much younger and allow the young guys to take over on nights where LeBron and AD and Wes Matthews are just going to have a little rest night maybe.
Mike Bresnahan, Laker analyst for Spectrum Sportsnet, nice enough to join Lakers Talk here. We'll go till 9 p.m. tonight. Hey, Brez, you mentioned a couple different times now Dennis Schroeder, and we got a chance to hear Schroeder today. He did his Zoom call. I know he was on with Ali as well from Spectrum, and he joined Steve Mason and Ramona Shelburne here. I thought there was an interesting point in the conversation he had on his Zoom call. He talked about how, you know, he played that role off the bench for 2 years in Oklahoma City, but he also talked about how he thought being a starter, he can help out guys like LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and he thought he'd play really well there. Did you think that when he came here and we talked about his accolades of what he did and how close he was being sixth man of the year, do you think his role with the Lakers is going to be coming off the bench, or do you feel, you know what, no – he will be a starter on this team?
I think he'll be a part-time starter. And as you pointed out, you know, there were a couple of years in Atlanta where he was a starter. So if he goes back to a starting role, not a big deal. But I think Frank Vogel might like the concept of having Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell coming off the bench together. Harrell is fantastic in pick-and-roll situations, a dogged defender. That's the thing about Schroeder that I've liked a lot, just watching him over the last few years. When he first came in the league, all right, he's only 6'1". He's not a Danny Green 6'6" type of guard or KCP at 6'5". But the thing I like about Schroeder, he's scrappy and he's really, really worked on his defense. And you know, last season, he was actually 15th in the entire NBA in a stat called defensive win shares. So this guy will get up in your face defensively. He will make you work. He's going to make you earn it. He's kind of like a younger Patrick Beverley with better offensive skills because he is going to score his 15, 17, 18 points a game for the Lakers. So just an amazing pickup. And again, a young guy getting close to the prime of his career.
Do you think, Brez, do you think that just kind of looking at this Lakers lineup, you could say they go about, I thought bringing Markieff back was big today, that the Lakers decide they're going to bring Jared Dudley back as well. KCP, we know, re-signed. Is this maybe by far is not the right word, but is this the best roster in the NBA? Is it the deepest bench in the NBA? I mean, what holes do you see that the Lakers have?
Yeah, and by the way, thank God they brought back Jared Dudley, a media member's best friend.
Oh, he's the best.
One of the best interviews in the planet, right?
He is the best.
And a great voice in the locker room, too. He really loves to talk to the young guys. And even LeBron listens up to Jared Dudley. You know, hey, man, you know, what do you want to do? What do you think? So glad he's back. I know he's pumped as well. You know, as far as, like, what they're going to be doing maybe on the court, that's going to be fascinating. Are they going to be shooting as well as they did last season? I don't know. KCP definitely caught some lightning in the bottle. During that playoff run, you know, we said going into the bubble, if he plays the best 3 months of his career, then the Lakers might win a championship. And sure enough, he did that and then some, especially after having a rough first playoff game against Portland. He was, what, 0 for 9? Mm-hmm. He scored only 1 point. Laker fans down on the guy. And he definitely bounced back. But this is a very talented roster. I would say the Bucks would give him a run for the money had they been able to execute that Bogdanovich deal. But obviously that fell apart. He ended up in Atlanta. Milwaukee still improved the roster by picking up Jrue Holiday. But I think the Lakers are the best roster in the NBA. And they have a nice luxury of giving some of their big names, the veteran guys, a night off here and there, because their roster is just so deep and talented.
Brez, are the Clippers still the biggest competition in the West? They add Nicholas Batum recently, or they're in the process of doing that. We know Serge Ibaka obviously signed. They lost Montrezl Harrell to the Lakers. Are Clippers still the biggest threat to the Lakers in the West?
Man, I have ping-ponged back and forth between them and Denver about 10 times already. We haven't even started training camp yet, so I'm struggling with this. I think the answer is yes, because I think Serge Ibaka, it's a good save for the Clippers. They lost Montrez.
I agree.
And Ibaka. Yeah, Ibaka older, mm-hmm. obviously. He might have 2 years left in his career, maybe three. But I think it was a good save, a nice pickup. I just don't know, Alan. They can't get past that second round of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. There's some sort of block for that franchise. It's been around since the 70s with the Buffalo Braves, and they just never been able to do it. So do you look at a team like Denver that had a really good playoff run, obviously upended the Clippers after being down 3-1 in that second round? They kept a lot of people. They lost Jeremy Grant, but they were able to re-sign Paul Millsap for a lot less money. I like that team. You know, Michael Porter Jr. might take another step up. So if I had to guess, I'd probably say the Clippers just based on Kawhi and Paul George, but I think Denver is going to give them a run for that second seed if the Lakers do indeed get that top seed in the West again.
Well, it's going to be, look, this is what's going to be fun about this upcoming season is everybody's chasing the Lakers. Of course, it's a good position to be in if you're a Laker fan and everything else, but the rest of the Western Conference, you got to imagine they're not going to just stand pat. Of course, the Warriors losing Klay Thompson is just
huge,
devastating, devastating to them. Yep. But you got some teams in the Western Conference I think are interesting. And really, just actually look at preseason when it starts December 11th. Lakers have 4 preseason games. They'll play 2 against the Clippers and then 2 against this kind of retooled Phoenix Suns team with Chris Paul and obviously Devin Booker. So it'll be a fun start to the season. And Brez, I know we didn't have much of an off season, but you know, look, I know the sleeves are already rolled up and you're ready to go. So I appreciate you taking some time and joining the show, and I'm sure you and I will connect soon. Okay,
Alan, sounds great. Can't wait to see you. And I might disappear for a couple weeks mid-season, go to Hawaii or something if you want to join me and a few other media types. We're going to need our little break too, right?
I like it, Brez. I like it. Well, look, man, we'll talk to you soon, and thank you for joining the show.
All right, my friend.
All right, that's Mike Bresnahan right there. Great stuff. And you know, that's one of those conversations where we can hit on a number of different things. I love the conversation about Dennis Schroeder, and we'll hear throughout the rest of the show. I'll play some more conversation that Dennis Schroeder had with Mason and Ramona earlier today. And then we'll just have Santa Key in the background as well. Thank you, Curtis. Thank you for that. When we come back, I do want to do this. I mentioned to Brez, I talked about how if the Clippers are the closest to the Los Angeles Lakers in the Western Conference, I actually think this year we're going to get Lakers-Clippers in the playoffs. Out of all the other years that we've thought of that and we just assumed that both of these teams are going to collide, this past season is a great example. I think this year we're finally going to get, or this season, we're finally going to get Lakers versus the Clippers. Let's talk a little bit about that when we come back. Stay right here. You're listening to Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, a quick shout out here to Cynthia Rodriguez, caller number 7. Cynthia, where are you calling in from?
Calling from Inglewood.
Calling from Inglewood. Well, we greatly appreciate you listening to 710. So thank you for doing that. Good call on the timing too. I'm sure you kind of sat back, you waited a quick second, and you're like, all right, that's number 4, that's number 5, 6, and then you got it on 7. Okay, time to pick a stocking above the 710 fireplace. So which stocking are you going to pick? Are you going to pick Keyshawn, Greeny, Max, Mason, Ireland, Sedano, LZ, Kaplan, or playoff Sliwa? Which stocking would you like to pick?
Give me playoff Sliwa.
All right, look at Cynthia. Thank you, Cynthia. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for picking playoff Sliwa. Appreciate you tuning in. Okay, so I think, Curtis, I think we executed it.
Oh, well, she's about to find out what she won right now.
Okay. What do you think of that, Cynthia? Pretty good?
Awesome. Thank you.
All right, Laker hat, T-shirt. Make sure you start wearing that. By the way, you don't have to wait till December 22nd. December 11th, preseason starts. So Lakers versus Clippers. So thank you for tuning in, okay?
Thank you, Sliwa.
All right, that's Cynthia Rodriguez right there. By the way, what a cool promotion. Curtis, I don't even have a Laker hat. You know, this is they basically just asked me, hey, why don't you come in, grind out the hours, but do not ask for a Lakers hat. So I don't even have one of those. So I'm glad we're
a lanyard, but I had to pay for it myself.
I'm glad we're throwing around hats here, but I don't even have one. Okay, so we got the preseason schedule that finally came out, and the preseason schedule for the Lakers. And I want to make this argument that I think the Lakers and the Clippers are finally going to face each other. So real quick on this, how great is this preseason schedule for Laker fans? December 11th, you got the Lakers and the Clippers. December 13th, you got the Lakers and the Clippers. This is the best matchup in basketball, by the way. And trust me, I know there's going to be plenty of Laker fans that are out there saying, Al, what are you talking about? Clippers are going to find a way to choke. The Lakers and the Clippers are not going to face each other in the postseason. On paper, this is the best matchup in the NBA. And the fact that both teams, very similar last year. Remember last year we were talking about it. This is how the Lakers started the season. The Lakers played the Clippers on Christmas. It's an exciting matchup, and there doesn't need to be a rivalry. Just today, if you look at these two franchises, they are, you know, obviously the Lakers are the best team in the NBA. Clippers trying to take what the Lakers have. So to start off preseason, those two teams will face each other. The storylines, by the way, keep stacking up between the two franchises. Montrezl Harrell obviously leaving the Los Angeles Clippers, coming to the Los Angeles Lakers. When I did my show last week on Wednesday, I spent some time on this. I was sitting back and I'm like, can you just imagine Montrezl Harrell this upcoming year? Montrezl Harrell has a purpose to this upcoming season. You know, the saying is, all right, you want to have a reason, you want to have a why when you wake up every morning. You don't think Montrezl Harrell, who he feels, last week he said this to the LA media, that he didn't think the Clippers wanted him back. So what happens? By the way, he's part of Clutch Sports. He ends up with the Lakers, fills a role that the Lakers need, and Montrezl Harrell could be a huge piece for the Lake Show this upcoming season. By the way, won the Sixth Man of the Year award, averages 18-7 a game. That Lakers-Clippers matchup is, I think, going to be fantastic all season long, and it starts on December 11th, so we don't have to wait very long for that. It's a week from Friday, if I'm correct here. Okay, so that's one of the matchups in the preseason. The other matchup the Lakers have in the preseason, December 16th and December 18th, they got the Phoenix Suns. Suns, another team that had an interesting offseason. I'm not one to say that the Suns are going to be competing for a championship. I'm not one to say that they're really going to be a threat to the Lakers or the Clippers, because I don't think they will be, or in the conversation with Denver. But I do think that the Phoenix Suns, they got Chris Paul and Devin Booker is an interesting lineup. Jay Crowder came over from the Miami Heat. I think that's going to be a good fit. So the Lakers have matchups in the preseason that I think are going to be interesting right out the gate. So right out the gate, we're going to get Lakers basketball. And I want to hit on this for a quick second. I think this year, or this season, the Lakers-Clippers thing, I think, is real this year. This season, I think the Lakers and the Clippers will actually face off against each other in the playoffs. And I want to see it this year. I really, really do. Don't get me wrong. I was rooting for the Denver Nuggets to come back in that 3-1 series deficit, and I'll probably, anytime the Clippers play another team, I'll be rooting for the opposing team. But the Lakers and the Clippers, it just seems like at some point they have to collide. Probably happens this year. Clippers are going to eventually have Nicholas Batum on the lineup. They added Serge Ibaka. They obviously already have the talent that they have. I think this season we're finally going to get the Lakers and the Clippers. And trust me, everyone thought we were going to get it this past season, and it didn't happen because they did choke against the Denver Nuggets when they were up 3-1. But I just got, you know, I got this feeling that the lineups are too stacked on both sides. Lakers certainly have the edge. Lakers certainly have the chemistry. That's the one thing that the Clippers never had. They didn't have the chemistry. We'll see if both teams collide this upcoming season. But what I can tell you is this. Preseason schedule is set. December 11th and December 13th, Lakers will have the Clippers. December 16th and 18th, Lakers will have the Suns. Coming up next, top NBA stories. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.